The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lay Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So we're live today. I'm in Arizona, and I'm feeling really great. I had my little procedure yesterday, and I don't know anything that's happening right now. I just know that I feel good, and I'm on the show, and I'm excited about being here. We're continuing with our show theme for this till the end of this month, and that is this saying that Takata had. Reiki will bring you to health, happiness, and long life, and to explore that and perhaps take that into something called quality of life. And she also used to say that Reiki goes to the cause rather than concentrating on the symptoms. And I have always found that to be true. So often when we're giving ourselves Reiki and it seems like nothing is happening, that something is happening. It's in the part of us that is in the unseen or the unphysical part of us, non-physical part of us, I would say. And I've been getting, as you can imagine in my situation, lots and lots of Reiki from all over the world. It's been incredible. I've stayed very clear, very focused, and not in the way of being concentrated. But I don't go to the future. I don't go to the past, although I'm exploring a lot of my life patterns in order to heal that part of myself, and also I'm really looking at what I have now and really coming into a great deal of appreciation and gratitude for what I have in my life at this moment, and that is a really wonderful quality of life. So I feel like this spot, as we call it, or this tumor in my breast that was cancer and now it's out, is really been a gift for me, and we'll see what the rest of the gifts are. Today I have with me Kate Jones. She's from the UK, and during this conversations that I've been having with people all over the world from about my own cancer, I've had a wonderful opportunity to catch up on other people. So Kate wrote me this great email, and I said, you know, this would be a great show. And we had Kate on, maybe a year ago or something when we were talking about public practice. And so now she's on again, and we're going to talk about Kate. So welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you very much, Phyllis.
Kind of a long and drawn-out introduction, but...
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah. Well, Kate... Can you just remind us of your Reiki path, like how you met Reiki and what you've been doing since then?
Mm. Well, I first met Reiki during a Tai Chi class when I was stoically limping through the class with a sprained ankle, and my Tai Chi teacher offered me some Reiki to see if it would help. I didn't think very much of it, particularly at the time, although I found that I had a quite unusual experience of this energy moving through my body. Then a few months after that, my dad died very suddenly, and again I was offered Reiki to help support me. And that was when I had the first full treatment and found it just incredible, really, really supportive and very comforting. And I thought, something about this. and I went on to have about 6 months of regular treatments after that.
Wow.
Every week or couple of weeks. And I just found it so moving and helpful and supportive and comforting during that first 6 months of my grieving. And I thought, wow, this would be a wonderful thing to be able to do for other people. So I took my first degree in February 1989. With Martha Sylvester, and rushed on to do second degree just a few months later, and just totally threw myself into Reiki from then on, I think.
Uh-huh.
I was fortunate enough to be invited to be a Reiki master with Martha a couple of years later, and became a Reiki master towards the end of 1991.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then around that time, I started working for the Reiki Association here in the UK, which was at that time quite a new organization. And I stayed as administrator for them alongside my Reiki teaching and treatment practice for 12 years. I gave up that job in 2004, I think it was. And since then, I've been dedicating my life to Reiki treatments, teaching, exploration in all sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm. And you have been quite active in the public practice realm of Reiki, is that true?
That's right, yes. I mean, I think I've always been interested in people receiving Reiki for the first time, like I did, and what that experience is like and how the practitioner is prepared for that. And the first and second degree don't in and of themselves prepare people to work with the public. So I'm really interested in that next step. You know, how do practitioners get prepared to deal with the public, to widen their circle of people that they give Reiki to, really?
Uh-huh. 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 Yeah, and it's very interesting because I think just not to get on a tangent, but to be really clear, that what I've found is that there's such a difference between public and what happens in what I call the Reiki folk art.
Yes,
practice, which
absolutely.
Yeah, which it looks like sometimes that people are treating people in the public, meaning that you know, their friend contacts another friend who needs a Reiki treatment, and so you may not know that friend, but there is some link to that person, right?
Yeah.
And in the public, it means that you're really meeting people without those kinds of network links. And through either referrals or through notification. I don't want to really say ads because that's always a little sore point for me, but in notifying people that you're available and that you do have a public practice.
That's right. Yes, it's where there isn't a personal relationship that's connecting people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what is that like in the UK? And I know that there has been some, request from the government to come together and to do some definition and some times when people are really working together, like all of the different forms or as many of the different forms of Reiki as possible.
Yes, there's been a movement in the UK to encourage lots of different what's known as complementary therapies, although Reiki is not exactly a therapy, to get themselves organised to be the word is regulation, but I don't particularly like that as a phrase. But it's more about getting clear about what it is we're offering, and how people prepare for it, and how they offer that in a professional way, I suppose. And it has brought together different styles or schools of Reiki to talk to each other, talk with each other, and we've actually managed to reach a lot of agreement about what the expectation is from practitioners working in the public in the way that you describe, which has been really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, and some really wonderful healing, I'm sure, between the different groups.
Absolutely, yes, it's been quite amazing to see. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be involved from the start of this process, and there was a lot of distrust and suspicion to begin with, And over the years, people have got to know each other and begun to realize that actually we're talking the same language and we hold much the same things dear, although we may actually do our Reiki in slightly different ways. Ultimately, we have a great love of Reiki and we have a great belief in what it can do for people,
mm-hmm.
and that can help people. So that's been our common ground, and we've actually managed to reach agreement on some things that we, at the beginning, thought we would never agree on.
Yes, well, you know, it's really fascinating to break through that and how connection, it seems to be the real key.
Exactly, yes, yeah. Connection.
Yeah. Well, I'm finding out in my process that, you know, I have all these little factions within myself. And one of the things that was really interesting is that I had, it was interesting because I have always been aware that my first 30 years of my life sort of ended very abruptly. And then when I met my grandmother as a Reiki master, and then the next 30 years up until now, between the ages of 30 and 60, have been its own little world of Reiki and Phyllis being out in the world as a Reiki master and also
yes.
my grandmother's successor. And now I'm starting on my next 30 years, and I realized, you know, in this last few months, my birthday is in a couple of days, so in the last year, that what I've been working on is now what?
Yes.
And it's so interesting to go back and explore who I was when I was a child and, you know, as a young adult, and to see if there's bridging that I can do between the first 30 years and the second 30 years and then, you know, create
the next 30 years.
Because I feel like the bridge is within me and the knowing is within me, and this time or this place of having cancer has brought me to an abrupt halt to say, okay, you have all that you need. Now make the connection and figure it out.
Right.
So.
Exciting.
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a station break, and we'll come right back, and we'll get to the meat of our interview with Kate in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And Kate's here because through our conversation, she was telling me about her own very moving story, and I think you called it your recent Reiki healing story.
Yes.
And I was very interested in it because it has so much richness in it. So, Kate, do you want to just talk about what was happening with you?
Yes, well, it was about my healing that was needed about period pains, menstrual pain, that I'd suffered for many years and had become much more intense, and to the point where I felt that some medical intervention was needed.
Uh-huh.
And I had you know, some medical intervention was offered to me. I was waiting for a small operation. But it just kept being put off and put off. And over the years, I'd also tried to connect with this pain and try and find out what it was all about, and just never got anywhere. And, spiritual teachers had said, just listen to the pain, ask it what it's about. And I was doing that, and I just didn't seem to be getting anywhere with it. So I was just suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was driving down the motorway on my way to visit my mum, and I was listening to the radio. It was just before Easter earlier this year, and a play came on the radio. And because it was Easter, they were doing plays about the healing miracles of Jesus and other stories from the Bible. And as I was listening to one of these stories, I realized that this was a story that I'd been very familiar with as a child. It was a story I grew up with, one of the stories, if you like, of my culture, I would say. And what I also realized was that this was also a story that Dr. Usui was probably very familiar with too in his search and research that ended with his discovery of Reiki. And then as I listened more to the story, I began to pay a little bit more attention. And it was the story about where Jesus is walking in a crowd, and he suddenly turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And His followers all say, "Well, you're in a crowd. There are lots of people touching you." And he said, "No, I felt the power go out of me. Somebody touched me with faith." And it turned out that there was a woman who had touched his coat with the belief that she would then be healed. And what was also quite interesting to me was that she was a woman who was suffering from bleeding. I mean, it's not specifically told in the story what kind of bleeding, but my assumption was that it was probably the same kind of bleeding that I'd been suffering from that had caused all my pain.
Mm.
And into my head came this thought, well, if I have enough faith, I can also be healed. And I drove on down the motorway, and I got to my mum's, and a message came through to me that was giving me the date for the operation that I'd been waiting so long for. And that just seemed a bit of a coincidence. that on this at this time, and I just, it was more than a thought, actually. It was more of a deep feeling. If I have this faith, I can be healed. And it was like the universe responded with, you know, a message to say, yep, okay, well, here's the date.
That's
And a few days after that, I was in Birmingham spending some time with you at a retreat and time with other masters and students. And we had lots of Reiki during that time, as we usually do, which is really wonderful. In fact, I had a four consecutive days of Reiki. And what was quite interesting was that the place where we were having this meeting was actually where I grew up, part of my childhood. And I had this insight while I was receiving Reiki there about the fact that this was a place where my periods had first started all those years ago.
Really? Oh, how interesting.
And then I began to get in touch with some of the feelings that were around at that time, and I realized that they were quite painful, that it was a difficult time because periods starting was very embarrassing.
Yeah.
I also was very young in starting, so I was one of only two girls in the school having periods, and so special arrangements had to be made for us, and it was all very embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Also, my parents had recently separated.
Oh, wow.
And so my mum was somewhat preoccupied with our situation as a family, and I don't think was able to give me the support that perhaps I might have needed at that time, starting my periods. I don't think she knew how to, really. And that's not in any way a blaming of her. It's just how it was. And so through this, the Reiki that we had at this retreat, I began to make connections between the start of my periods and this emotional pain. And then I went, not long after that, to the hospital to have the operation. And because they were very keen to make sure that I got the bed to have this operation, I was actually taken in the night before, although I didn't really need to. So I was there with time to kill. And my husband had given me this lovely recording of Eckhart Tolle to listen to. It was a recording of him talking about The Power of Now, which is a book that I'd been meaning to read but never got around to.
Mm-hmm.
So the night before my operation, I ended up going for a walk in this. I discovered this lovely woods that was right next to the hospital, and I went for a walk, and my periods had actually started that day, and I was in quite intense pain. And so I was walking in the woods, practicing being in the now, being in the moment, letting go of past and future, letting go of any worries. And in fact, in that moment, it was a very beautiful evening, and there were beautiful things to look at in the woods, like bluebells coming up, and I saw some lovely birds. And in that moment, I thought, well, I really don't mind what happens. I'm willing for whatever happens. You know, if I don't make it through this operation tomorrow, actually, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Which is quite an interesting place to be in. And I was actually able to go through the operation with a lot of consciousness. I was, instead of being given a general anesthetic, which I'd been expecting, they gave me a spinal block instead. So I stayed awake.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes. And in fact, I was actually watching some of the operation on the screen.
Wow, that's amazing that you had to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've done that myself.
And one of the things that my Reiki master taught me was that the healing is a lot about bringing things into consciousness that are buried.
Right.
And that for me is part of the healing that your grandmother was talking about going to the causes, underlying causes, is going to the things that are in our unconscious mm-hmm. that are causing these problems. After the operation, I had more Reiki, and more insights came. More things came into my consciousness about how that particular time in my life when my period started was a very difficult time in a lot of ways, very painful emotionally, also because of the family situation. And in the Eckhart Tolle, what I also learned, which is something I hadn't heard before, was the fact that at the time of just before the period starts, women have this possibility of transforming pain. And I realized that was probably something that I'd been blocking all this time. So I'd been living with the pain, if you like, rather than...
Uh-huh. What do you think that means, transmuting pain?
Transforming. Well, I think it means changing it from the pain that it is into an understanding. And then letting it go, really.
A really obvious example is childbirth pain, right?
That
women go through this intense, unbelievable pain. I've never had children, so I don't know, but it's amazing that women do it over and over again.
Yes.
Willingly. And, all of them describe this process as, understanding that the gift that they're being given through the pain is another life.
Yes.
And this is so incredible. And I really see that perhaps you and I are experiencing this in another way.
Mm.
Say with the same intensity as labor pains, but
that's right.
But anyway, is that kind of where you're going with this?
That's it, yes. I mean, what I felt was that the pain that I was feeling physically every month, and it got to the stage where I was actually feeling this pain 14 days, and then I would get 10 days break.
Wow.
So, and then another 14 days dealing with pain. So it became extremely stressful. And I realized afterwards that I'd become quite a victim to it as well.
Mm.
And what I saw was that in recognizing the origins of this pain as the emotional difficulties that I had when my periods first started, and that I wasn't able to deal with them at the time, what I felt was that they then went into my unconscious. And every month they tried to surface for resolution or for change, for recognition. But I couldn't.
Yeah. It's time for another break, Kate. So
okay.
We'll take a deep breath. And
yeah.
For all of you out there who have ongoing painful things happening with your body or in your emotions or spiritually, perhaps we can all connect. Okay, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to find dozens of others that, despite everything, are still here today. Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover, because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolight massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
We live in a time of economic uncertainty. Gas prices are up, healthcare costs are up, and sometimes the market is down. But studies have shown that by mastering your own energy, you can still live a life of prosperity. Listen to Master Your Energy, Master Your Life with your host, Siobhan Moran. Siobhan will show you how to overcome the negative energy of recessionary headlines and give you tools to deflect the harmful effects of subtle negative energy. Master Your Energy, Master Your Life. Friday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today Kate Jones from the UK. She's sharing with us her story of her process with menstrual pain, with continual menstrual pain, and the connection that she's had with where she started and what, I guess I could say, how you sort of kept the pain let's see. No, this isn't what I want to say. Okay, I'm going to back up. In Reiki, in my Reiki practice, what I've seen and for myself and what I've observed in others is that quite often pain is a messenger. And it has a message, and often when we, it's good, you don't have to suffer from pain or be a victim to it in our world because we have all these different kind of painkillers. But it is important to understand that when you take your ibuprofen or aspirin or whatever you're taking to get rid of the headache, that there is some other message that comes with that, and to be sure that you pay attention to that. So that's kind of what was happening with you, is that you had this timing of this to really assist you with the relief physically, but also you had other kinds of pain that were going on. Is that true?
Yes, that's right. One of the things I found really amazing was that I was in intense pain physically the night before the operation, and the day after, I mean, even though I'd had this operation, I was in very little pain, and that's been the case ever since. So it was my surgeon wanted a much more drastic operation, and I said, no, I think the less drastic option will be fine, and in so far it has proved to be very effective. And my feeling is that part of the reason for that is because I've been willing to look more deeply at what the pain was trying to tell me, or what it was trying to talk to me about, or what it was that I'd pushed into my unconscious in relation to the pain. Now, I have also heard from a different form of healing than Reiki that the area around, in the pelvic area, can be a part of the body that stores things in the unconscious. So I also find it quite interesting that that's the area that I needed healing. And in the Reiki treatments that I continued to have after the operation, more and more insights kept coming about the mental and emotional, perhaps, causes of this pain, or that this pain was a reflection of, if you like, that I hadn't been able to look at earlier in my life. I realized that also the intense pain, emotional pain around my family's separation, I think I was probably trying to help my mother with her pain in the way that the transformation of pain can also be not only our personal pain but also the pain of others around us.
Right.
And I know that she was in intense pain, and that is the kind of personality that I am. Not consciously, I would probably have been trying to help her with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel that that was part of also the pain that I was carrying in that area of my body and not able to deal with, really. Mm-hmm. But I feel that I've through all the practice of Reiki over the years, I've become strong enough now to be able to really look at this and heal it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I understand that you also played what we call the transformation game at one point, and I find that to be a very interesting tool.
Yes, I did. And what was very interesting was that I'd had all these insights around the mental, emotional, and physical sides of my problem, but I still felt there was something else. There was another layer. And I'd already organized to play the transformation game with some of my students. It was the first time they were playing it. I've played it several times. And what was fascinating for me was I chose a focus about receiving support. And the very last level of the game, which is about the spiritual level, the game arranged for me to receive a lot of pain. Which I found fascinating, and I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, because I had no pain on any of the other levels, but on this last level, the spiritual level, there was a lot of pain, and I thought, oh, well, this is my last level of pain. This is, it felt like the possibility of changing that last level of pain. So I thought, right, okay, I've got all this pain. What do I have to do? Looking for a solution in the game. And then the most miraculous thing happened was somebody else landed on a certain square, which meant that my game was over. I was instantly taken back to the source in the game, which meant that my pain simply was transformed. But what was amazing about it to me was that it wasn't what I had to do. It was actually through the support, if you like, of somebody else. And this gave me the insight that this unconsciousness around my pain had caused me to feel separate and disconnected from, because disconnecting from my own emotions, I also disconnected from other people, and that that had made me less trusting, for sure. And the insight from the game was that actually the support is there. It's here for us anytime we need it. All you have to do is ask. And some people might call that the divine. Some people call it great spirit. Some call it Reiki. You know, it's just that I had this deep insight of and feeling of there being a greater something that we can all kind of lean on if we need to, that's there to support us.
Wonderful. That's great.
And all this from having period pains.
Oh, amazing. And where do you go from here then, do you think?
Well, what was interesting was that a couple of weekends ago, I ran a Reiki summer camp. And it's only the second time that I've run this weekend camp. So I was still quite anxious about, you know, what we would do and how it would all go and so on and so forth. And I decided, well, let's use some angel cards from the transformation game to give us some guidance. And my very first card was support. A little reminder that I didn't have to do it all. You know, if I just asked for help, it would be there. And it was true. I mean, I received support from the people who were there. You know, they were wonderful with washing up and clearing the tables and laying the tables and all that sort of thing. And I also realized that I didn't have to worry about what we were going to do because the answer would be there moment to moment if I trusted. And that's exactly what happened. And the theme of the camp was simplicity. My second angel card was simplicity. And we had a lovely, simple time. We did Reiki, we ate lovely food, we had a hot tub, we went for lovely walks, and it felt like it was a real proof, if you like, or a living of this shift that I feel has happened through my healing. It was a real experience of it, of how it can be.
Wow. So do you find that you're also making shifts in your daily life?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I mean, I used to be very intense and always rushing around and trying to get everything done yesterday. I'm finding that I'm allowing myself to take more time and really feel what needs to be done now, what can be done later. And therefore, I think the quality of what I do is probably much better. And I would say there's more room for Reiki, which is always good.
Well, and less, and certainly less stress.
Definitely, no question about that. And of course, other people can see that. I mean, people who've seen me since the operation, who saw me before, have commented on how well I'm looking, and you know. They always say things like, "Have you lost weight?" And I don't think I have, but something about the way I'm carrying myself probably is different. The energy is different. So.
And do you have a feeling about a shift in? Because I'm in the midst of my own process.
Yes.
There is this. It always seems like there's another word that I keep grasping for. It's somehow spiritual, somehow energetic, somehow linked to all my human experience. But there's another part of me that is longing somehow to be recognized and expressed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that we get a couple of minutes to think about what this word is.
Okay.
Because it's break time.
Great.
This is Phyllis Rumimoto with Reiki Balance, Form, and Essence.
taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Before we get into the show, I have my own little piece of information that is I'd like to say, and that is that on September the 3rd, we're going to be switching over to a new website address. And this will be the show will be formatted a little differently. We won't have commercial breaks. And we are hopefully going to have more Reiki involved in the shows. And also, I'm hoping to do some group interviews, which will be very interesting. But it is made possible because I won't have commercial breaks. And this is, the website address is www.radiotalkshow.com. And you can find this hopefully on the e-card for today and for the next, and for our next show, the last one at Motivox on the 27th. Okay, we're back to Kate. I was just trying to think of this word or this place that I feel like I'm searching for in my own healing process. And by healing, I think I need to just say this. By healing, I mean that bringing parts of myself together so that they're connected and they are one. You know, healing for me comes from this concept of being whole. And if I hold out a place of away from myself because of fear or shame or disgust or embarrassment or whatever emotion I have that causes me to separate from myself, then I'm not whole. You know, even though these places are painful sometimes to embrace, that pain is a part of our healing. And I feel like that's where I am, right in the midst of all that. And there's a place in me that feels like I'm reaching for another whole part of myself, that I will be very different when I come out of this. And I'm wondering if that is your experience also, Kate, because your process is a little bit older than mine in the sense of having started it in April.
Yeah, that's actually very helpful, Phyllis, because I feel very much that I've reclaimed a part of me that was separate, that was kind of outside of me and yet was somehow attached and was causing all this discomfort. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. It is about putting back together the fractured pieces, if you like, that are fractured by all these difficult emotions that at the time we find difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also just want to say that I don't feel guilty or upset that I couldn't have done it perfectly when I was 5 or 10 or 13 or whatever. But now these defense mechanisms don't serve me, and I'm able to hold them because I have more faculty and more understanding of myself in order to put them into a kind of context. And I'm wondering if that's true for you.
Mm. Yes, I feel I have a great compassion for that being who was me at 11, struggling to deal with the beginning of my menstruation. I don't have any criticism or blame at all, and don't look down on, or I don't feel anything could have been any different than what it was. Mm-hmm. It was just so, and that was perfect. And now I'm really grateful for the lessons that it's giving me, and in particular, it's given me this wonderful lesson about faith.
Uh-huh.
I suddenly realize that now I have more faith, and I have more ability to trust the greater whatever is. I have more faith in myself as well. So going back to that story that I was listening to in the radio, when everything seemed very stuck and nothing was moving forwards with my healing, and I thought, had that thought, if I have faith, I'll be healed. Well, I believe that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about faith? Like, what is that for you?
Mm. I suppose for me, it's a feeling of deep trust. It's a feeling of knowing that I'm perfectly safe. It has a sense of an understanding that there is a greater energy or being that, or a bigger plan than I can possibly understand, but that I'm a part of that. That's what faith is for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, I kind of struggle, and sometimes I struggle between the words faith and trust, and they feel different to me somehow.
Mm.
Is that true for you, or are
I think very often trust is used very much on the interpersonal level, about whether we trust people, whether we trust ourselves. It's on the more mental, emotional level. Faith for me goes beyond that, because it doesn't require proof. It doesn't require experience, in a sense. It's like a trust in what is, that goes beyond a need for proof.
Interesting.
Because I think, very often trust is something that's earned, or that you learn to trust somebody, or, you know that something is working out, so you can trust it. But for me, faith is a bit more like taking a leap into the dark. I remember on the angel cards, the word faith is accompanied by a picture of two angels on trapezes, and one of them is leaping out into space, holding out her arms, trusting the other will catch her.
Yes.
And I think that's, for me, that's faith. It's just being willing to just get out there and know that somebody is there to catch you.
Yes.
and that even if they aren't, that's also fine.
Right. Well, in my experience of Reiki, there's always something that catches me.
Absolutely. That's always been my experience as well.
Yes, and I think that this is where where I am right now, and I feel like all the Reiki that's coming to me just simply, you know, underlines this for me, but makes it also present in my actual physical body. Like my physical body feels healthy. And, you know, the funny thing is, even having this operation, I search for what is this word? Honestly, I'm having a hard time with words today. That maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe I'm being, maybe I'm just not acknowledging this, but I don't think so. I feel so clear. And I woke up this morning thinking I would feel like a part of me had been missing as they took little parts of me out, and I don't. I don't have this at all, nor do I feel like an enemy has been taken out of me.
Yeah.
I just feel like that there has been, like, in my life, there have been memories that I have had that I feel like I've had to transform, because actually my memory was distorted.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because that's very similar to how I felt after my operation. Again, you know, part of my body was removed. What they did was to remove the inside of my uterus, and I didn't feel anything was missing. It was just like a clearing or a cleansing almost of the parts that had kind of got out of balance because of the imbalance in my thinking.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Amazing. Well, Kate, for sharing. And we'll be back next week. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Thank you.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.